buddy.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise our God. Oh, I'm so thankful He helps us. Amen. We are so needy as human beings, you know. It's always something. But, you know, God is amazing and magnificent. And I just want to thank God. I know I kind of burnt myself today, my finger, and was a little concerned. I would have a big blister, but praise the Lord, you know, Brother Tim was over and he prayed for me, and I don't have any blister. Praise the Lord, and it stopped hurting. Amen. Praise the Lord. So God is good, and He is faithful, and you know, He's the God that we need to trust. Amen. He's the person we need to trust in every way, because, oh my, things go right when we put our faith, our trust, our hope in Him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to be studying here tonight. We're going to just continue with our prophetic little study here that the Lord got me involved in doing. So, praise the Lord. And I don't know, I just may have some curious things to share here tonight. But praise the Lord, I'm so glad for the wonderful Word of Life and that Bible that we cherish. There's no book to compare to it, is there? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's begin with prayer here tonight. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank Thee again that we can meet here together. Oh God, thank you for your people, Lord. Thank you for those that are online, oh Lord, as we meet in heavenly places, Lord. Oh God, over the internet. Oh God, we do thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your promises. And we thank you that we can know thee, Lord, that you have made yourself known to us. Oh God, I pray that you would talk to us, that you would encourage your people, Lord, for you know every detail, you know every heartache, you know every burden. Oh God, you know every pain. And oh God, I just pray that you would move here tonight. I pray that you would add to our faith, Lord. You'd help us, Lord, this short life. Oh yes. Oh God, that Sister Sharon and I were talking about last night. Oh God, this short life, God, that, oh God, it just goes as a vapor. But help us, Lord, to do our best, oh Lord. Help us to make an impact in this world while we yet can. Oh God, give us a vision of greater things. And help us, oh God, to know how to think and how to do and how to trust you, Lord. And oh God, how to show our faith. Oh God, all these details, Lord, work in our hearts and make us what we ought to be in you, Jesus. Oh God, I pray that you'd have your way, Lord. Oh God, please use me. Oh God, give me the ability, the anointing. Oh God, all that I need from thee in Jesus' precious name, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name. Let your word have an impact, I pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, you know, we think back on that time when Jesus first appeared on the scene and how it must have been, you know, for those that had eyes to see and ears to hear and all at once to realize that the Messiah had come. And oh my, you know, such a longing of the soul. Oh yes, and all those prophets and folks of old that had looked for that day, and finally it arrived. You know, we are looking for his second coming. And one of these days is going to be in the past. He's going to come and not tarry. Oh yes, and we're going to, oh yes, know what it's like to stand before him. And I thank God we have these precious moments that we can turn our hearts over to him and feast on his word and listen to what he would tell us. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank God, we are so blessed. Praise the Lord, we have this little time, and by his grace and mercy, we want to make the best of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So yes, we're going to be going into some more prophetic utterances. And again, you know the excitement when Jesus came on the scene. And oh yes, there was John the Baptist pointing the way. And oh yes, you know, God had showed him that, you know, the one that the Spirit of God came and anointed greatly and stayed upon was the Son of God, was the Messiah. And praise the Lord, that happened when John baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. And praise the Lord, you know, John was able to go point the way to the others. And as we've been in the first chapter, John, we'll just go there for a moment again. And you know, John on the scene, and you know, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," there in the first chapter, John. And yes, he knew at that point, "This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me." And oh yes, what a wonder that all is. God robed in flesh who came to this world to seek and to save those that were lost. All of us, praise the Lord. And oh, praise the Lord. You know, he declared that after he baptized Jesus, where he stood with two of his disciples and, you know, he saw Jesus. And looking upon him, it tells us in verse 36 in this first chapter of John, he said again, "Behold the Lamb of God." And those two disciples that were with John at that moment heard this. And wow, you know, they began to follow Jesus. And all at once here's Jesus and he realizes, oh, these two men are following me. And he asks them, "What seek ye?" And they said unto him, verse 38, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And it tells us he saith unto them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And then it identifies one of those two that had followed Jesus. And you can imagine what an evening that must have been, you know, to have that fellowship with Jesus and what things he must have shared with them and what insights they must have gained. And oh, the wonder of it all. It must have been a wonderful night. Amen. And so, yes, one of the individuals who followed Jesus at that moment, it was Andrew. And oh, obviously he was fully convinced after spending that time with Jesus that he was the Messiah. Amen. So it tells us in verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And oh my, you could just imagine, oh my, he just couldn't wait to go tell Simon, you know. Oh yes, and he did. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. Praise the Lord, the anointed one. And yes, you know, the eagerness, oh yes, and oh, wow, this is so amazing, you know, forget about all the other things, you know, that are sometimes on the agenda, but oh my, it tells us that he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. And I just kind of doubt that they had to have a formal introduction. I just know that Jesus knew him right away. Amen. And so the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee. And this time he findeth Philip. And I note this. You know, sometimes people heard Jesus or someone told them about Jesus and they came to find him. And then there are these moments when Jesus sought that individual. And here it tells us, you know, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. It tells us, now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And yes, you know, they were very aware of the scriptures, in some of which we've discussed here, Genesis 3:15 and Genesis 49, verse 10, and Deuteronomy 18 and verses 15, 18, and 19, and you know, they were very aware, and of course there's so many, many more, but you know, they could see, they could understand, and I love this excitement. You know, Philip, you know, too, has that immediate understanding, it seems, and he can hardly wait to go find Nathanael, who I suppose was a very good friend of his, maybe even a relative, I don't know, but he found him. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael, a little bit skeptical at the first, because Nazareth was not a town of good reputation. And so he said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Oh, praise the Lord. And, you know, Jesus saw Nathanael coming, you know, probably even a distance. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. And wow, what an amazing thing for the Lord to say. I'm sure this Nathanael was an individual who was trying his best to be truthful, to be upright, you know, to serve God. And you know, maybe that's one reason he was chosen at this moment. But it tells us in verse 48, Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Oh, praise the Lord. When he was at home under repose, resting, Jesus had already seen him. Of course, Jesus knew him even before that, for sure. Praise the Lord. And yes, I noticed Nathanael's quick response here, verse 49. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. He's acknowledging it immediately. He's understanding. Oh, yes. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Praise the Lord. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, one day too, we will, oh yes, have that tremendous privilege as Jesus returns to this earth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But oh yes, there were so many utterances in the scripture that foretold of Jesus' first coming to this earth. And of course, there are many, many, many that tell of his second coming. But yes, tonight we're just going to concentrate on a few scriptures that pointed to his first coming. And having said that, let's go to Isaiah 7, verse 14. Amen. Isaiah 7, verse 14. And very important detail here. Here it is. It is being said here. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Praise the Lord. And we can find that reality in Matthew, the first chapter, if we will go here right now. Matthew chapter 1. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to start with verse 18 here. And here it tells us these details, this record that has been well kept. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then it tells us, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Obviously, he didn't understand that she was with child of the Holy Ghost, you know. But praise the Lord, the angel of the Lord came to him in a dream. Oh, praise the Lord. Verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And yes, at this point, they were espoused or engaged. And it would take a bill of divorcement in order to disannul that. So it would have been quite a procedure there, because the espousal was, you know, something that was to be carried through. But praise the Lord. Oh, yes, it wasn't as, you know, Joseph at the first thought by any means. No, it was far greater than that. And yes, God had his way of revealing it to Joseph. Oh yes, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and told him very clearly, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph was given instructions. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Oh, praise the Lord, the name of the Messiah. Oh, yes, his name was to be called Jesus, meaning Savior, yes, because he was coming with a mission to save his people from their sins. And yes, it goes on to tell us, verse 22, now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, Isaiah 7, verse 14, and just a little bit of difference in spelling because, yes, we're going from the Hebrew to the Greek. But, oh, yes, there it is, you know, and clarifying the fact who this child was who would be born. So it tells us, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Praise the Lord. So yes, there was that promise that this very unordinary detail, a virgin would be with child, something, oh yes, that had never happened before, and would bring forth a son, and oh yes, the name of this chosen vessel, this son, would be Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, I'm so thankful. Yes, it was prophesied exactly as that, and it came to pass precisely that way also. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then, yes, we have quite the descriptions of this Messiah, this child who was to be born. Let's go to a familiar passage, Isaiah chapter 9. And here, let's do a little bit of reading here as we look on this prophetic utterance here. This passage will give us a description of the child who was to be the Christ. And it gives us also a description of his kingdom. Oh, yes, that he would rule and reign over. Amen. So it tells us, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Oh, what a description is given us here in this sixth verse of chapter 9 of Isaiah. Oh, yes. Oh, none to compare. Oh, yes, that child that would be born, that son that would be given. Oh, yes, a government would be upon his shoulder, but not a physical government that men would look unto, but, oh, it'd be a spiritual government. Praise the Lord, and, oh, his name would be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Oh, praise the Lord, all those attributes would belong to him, this Messiah, this child. And then in verse 7, we have the description of his kingdom. Oh, what a kingdom. Oh, yes, there's never been one on earth to compare to this. It says, "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Oh, yes, oh, nothing to compare to this government, oh, that Jesus Christ came to this world to bring forth. Oh, yes, he initiated it. Oh, yes, he brought it forth. That was what he was doing when he walked this earth. He was bringing forth that spiritual kingdom. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. That New Testament that would be would be initiated by his blood. Praise the Lord. But, oh, what a kingdom this would be, established upon the throne of David. Yes, because he would be born of the lineage of David. Yes, and upon his kingdom, ordered and established with judgment and justice, all from the beginning, from his conception, from henceforth, and even forever. Oh, yes, a kingdom that would have no ending. Praise the Lord. Oh, that's so fantastic and oh, wonderful. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, and oh, how privileged we are to be a part of that kingdom. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord, that kingdom. Oh, even the kingdom that Daniel had a glimpse of. Oh, praise the Lord, there in Daniel, the second chapter, he was given a glimpse of this eternal kingdom that would come to pass. Amen. It tells us here, oh yes, that image that Nebuchadnezzar saw. But oh my, there was going to be a kingdom far greater than any kingdom of this world. It's told us in verse 44 of Daniel 2, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. It is, oh, yes, the description of the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord, the kingdom that Jesus Christ came forth to establish. Amen. Oh, yes, there are so many scriptures that, oh, yes, described the kingdom of our God, but I'd just like to go for a moment to Isaiah chapter 52, read a little bit Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 52. And I believe I did read this last week, but oh my, it's such a beautiful portion. Let's begin here with verse 6. Isaiah 52, going to verse 6. I like this. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. And you know, we saw that in that first chapter of John. You know, Andrew recognized him. And oh yes, he went to get his brother Simon, who became Simon Peter. And yes, Peter, I believe, understood who he was too. And oh yes, and then there was Philip that Jesus called. And you know, he too acknowledged who Jesus was. Oh yes, he that had been prophesied that would come, amen. And then Nathanael, who came forth and again acknowledged that Jesus was indeed the Son of God, amen. And so they knew, and you know that, you know, when Jesus, I guess you could say, he was kind of testing his disciples there in the 16th chapter of Matthew, and you know, he asked them, first of all, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And you know, the answer was, well, you know, typically, you know, is some, you know, they say that you are John the Baptist, some Elias, and others say you're Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And then, you know, Jesus got personal with them, and he said to those that had were his disciples, but whom say ye that I am? And I love Simon Peter's response. He said in Matthew 16, verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Oh yes, he knew it clearly. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. We praise the Lord. If our eyes can see, if our ears can hear, we have that understanding, oh yes, that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then praise the Lord, it's come by revelation. Oh yes, it's God Almighty that opened up our minds. Oh, that we could see it and understand it and acknowledge it. Praise the Lord. And it's interesting, he went on to say, And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And that rock, of course, is that understanding that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of the living God. Oh, yes, that's the rock. Oh, that the church is built upon, the revelation that the church is built upon. If you do not have that understanding, you are not a part of the church. Amen. And so, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And praise the Lord, all this church that Jesus established, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. And it was told Peter, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Oh my, what power he has given his church, what authority, oh, that we can bind and loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, this privilege, oh yes, that he gave to Peter and then also to his church. Praise the Lord. And then interestingly, in verse 20, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. You know, that's interesting, you know. Oh my, it had to come by revelation. You know, it wasn't going to be told just by, you know, reading a book or you know, by someone else's utterance. But praise the Lord, it comes to us as individuals, that revelation that Jesus is indeed the Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, it's pretty amazing because, you know, as we read in the Gospels, we understand that the devils knew very well who he was. Oh, there's no doubt in their minds, you know, that he was the Christ, the Anointed One. You know, and yet Jesus would charge them not to go forth and utter it often. But yes, you know, it's interesting, even in the very first chapter of Mark, where Jesus' ministry was just beginning, it tells us there, Mark 1, verse 21, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. You can imagine, you know, what a privilege, you know, those that were assembled there in the synagogue, and yet, oh my, I would say the majority of them that didn't get it. But it tells us in verse 23, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. The devils knew it. And it's so interesting, that 24th verse, you know, oh my, I believe that they know that there's a day when it's going to be over for them, when they, you know, will be committed to the lake of fire and it will be over. And, you know, I believe they could see and understand Jesus Christ on the scene. They knew who he was. Jesus of Nazareth. And oh, the question, art thou come to destroy us? Because I believe that they know, the devil knows, that oh, there is a day when oh, it will be over. And he will no longer oh, be a threat. Oh my, he will be utterly condemned. Oh yes, thrust into the lake of fire, amen. But you see how they knew him. I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And it tells us that Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed in so much that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority cometh commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Oh, it had never been seen. This was truly a new thing. Oh, yes. Oh, Jesus coming forth. Oh, yes. And casting out even unclean spirits. And oh, yes, they obeyed him. And it tells us, and immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Oh, yes, it spread. It spread abroad. Oh, no one before that time had ever cast out devils. And it was a sign, that was a very sign that indeed the kingdom of God had come. You know, Jesus also declared in Luke that if he, by the finger of God, here, I believe it's the 11th chapter of Luke, but if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. Amen. So it was a tremendous indicator. Oh, yes. That, oh, yes, that kingdom that Isaiah had talked about in that 9th chapter. Oh, that kingdom that Daniel had talked about in the 2nd chapter of Daniel. Oh, yes, had come into fruition. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Jesus bringing it forth. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. It would never be the same. Oh, yes, since Jesus walked this earth and began his ministry, cast out devils, and oh, yes, all kinds of manners of unclean spirits. Oh, praise the Lord. Healed the sick and brought deliverance to them that were bound. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, thank the Lord. It tells us, just to, perhaps you'd like to go forth with those 21st and 22nd verses here. Jesus said, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusteth and divideth his spoils. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus Christ had victory over the devil, and he spoiled him. He took his armor. Praise the Lord. Oh, so yes, we can trample him. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. So we can bind him. Oh, yes, so, oh, yes, we have that authority in Jesus Christ. Amen, because Jesus was that stronger one that came into the world. Oh, yes, to overcome the devil. Oh, yes, to bring forth eternal life. Praise the Lord. So, yes, Jesus came and he overcame the devil and he took from him his armor. Oh, praise the Lord, wherein he trusteth. And oh, yes, he divided his spoils. Praise the Lord. Oh, it was never the same after Jesus Christ came into this world. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, yes, oh, we have all these indicators here to show us. Oh, yes. But back here to Isaiah 52, verse 7, it tells us, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Oh, praise the Lord, that is so beautiful. Yes, it is repeated in Romans, the 10th chapter. Well, I'll never forget the night that I felt the Lord call me. And oh, yes, he gave me that scripture there from Romans 10. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But oh, yes, what a privilege to publish the glad tidings, the glorious gospel. Oh, the peace of the kingdom. Oh, praise the Lord. That's able to go forth and say, thy God reigneth. Oh, he has come into the world. It will never be the same. And yes, he is coming again. Praise the Lord. And oh, Isaiah is foretelling it here in this 52nd chapter. And he says in verse 8, the watchmen shall lift up the voice, with a voice together shall they sing. Oh, great. Oh, glad tidings of great joy, which the shepherds were able, oh my, to hear of when they're tending their sheep by night, watching their sheep by night, that night Jesus Christ was born. Oh, it says, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Oh, yes, when he was coming into this world, oh, to deliver his people, to take away our sin, oh, to give us a hope beyond this world. Praise the Lord. And it says, break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Oh, these were wonderful tidings to them that perceived that Jesus was indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yes, because, oh, it tells us in verse 10, the Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. God robed in flesh came, oh, yes, oh, to bear his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And I like how this verse, oh, yes, also adds, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Oh, praise the Lord. It would not just be the Jewish nation, but oh, yes, oh, the one who would come forth as a Messiah, oh, would make his, bear his holy arm. Oh, yes, it would be in the eyes of all the nations. Praise the Lord. And even the ends of the earth would see the salvation of our God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. And it tells us in verse 11, Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. And yes, before we can have that relationship with Jesus fully, we have to turn our lives over to him. We must repent, oh yes, of all the evil, of all the sin in our lives. Amen. We must separate ourselves from the things of this world. Amen. We must be clean. Oh, yes, we must forsake sin. Amen. It tells us in verse 12, for ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your reward. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, he would lead us. He would guide us. Oh, yes, he would be in front of us so we can follow him. But you know what? Also, our reward. In other words, he's behind us, too. He's keeping our back. Praise the Lord. Oh, this wonderful Savior, oh, that would come into the world. And then it's told us in verse 13, and more prophetic utterances here. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently with wisdom, in other words. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Oh, and it tells us as many were astonished at thee. His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Of course, maybe it wasn't understood at the moment there. Astonished or astonished means like a stone, you know, because, oh my, it wasn't easily perceived that this one who came, oh yes, as the arm of God, oh praise the Lord, the one who came to save us from our sins, oh, was going to give his life a ransom for many. And his face would be so marred, his visage would be so marred that, you know, it wasn't even recognizable from that description, more than any man. And his form more than the sons of men. Oh my, because yes, there on the cross, oh, that price that he was paying for our sin. Oh my, so marred that his visage would not even be recognizable. His form, oh my, so out of place, his joints so out of place, so stricken and smitten. Oh, at that moment, that, oh my, who would ever guess that it was the Holy One of God giving his life a ransom, but that he was. It tells us in verse 15, so shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Oh, praise the Lord, he was going to sprinkle many nations, and nations meaning his people that, oh, would come to him. It would be his blood that he would sprinkle to cover our sins. Praise the Lord. And oh my, when the kings of this earth stand before him, oh my, they're not to be. There will be no wisecracks that they can say or utter. Oh, they shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see. Oh, the amazement of this. And that which they had not heard shall they consider. Oh, and oh, yes, he comes forth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, yes, when every eye and every, oh my, every individual is going to realize of a fact of great clarity that he is indeed Jesus the Christ, the one who came to take away our sins, to save us, praise the Lord. Oh, by his grace and mercy, we have acknowledged that before it is too late. Praise the Lord, the wonderful message of salvation. Praise the Lord. But oh yes, we have all these very vivid descriptions. And yes, it's given us of old that place of his ministry. That too is in the 9th chapter of Isaiah. And it tells us here in the first and second verses here of Isaiah 9, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. And oh yes, then it's prophesying of that glorious moment when there would be light. Oh, to these people who had been afflicted. Oh, these people in the land of Zebulun, in the land of Naphtali, in Galilee here. It tells us the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that, oh, was the light that came into the world. Oh, the light, oh, that had spoken the world into existence from the very first. Jesus Christ who came forth, oh, yes, to bear witness, to bring forth salvation. And oh, yes, all at once, oh, that light came into the darkness because Jesus Christ had come upon the scene. Tells us, it quotes from Isaiah 9 in Matthew chapter 4, verse 13. It tells us, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a day that was when Jesus began his ministry. Amen. And there he was. He had left Nazareth at that moment and went to dwell in Capernaum, where his headquarters would then be after that point. And oh, yes, all at once, there, all the people that had sat in darkness, not knowing the Savior, not knowing salvation, all at once, there was light that came upon the scene. Jesus Christ, amen. Oh, to preach the way. Oh, yes, to tell them how to live. And oh, how to go forth, amen. How to find salvation, amen. Oh, yes, the Savior had come, the Messiah. And it tells us in verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. So yes, it tells us, oh, the place where his ministry began. There, oh yes, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. Praise the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet had declared in Isaiah 9. Praise the Lord. Oh, the way of the sea beyond Jordan. Praise the Lord. And then a very significant prophetic utterance is found in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And in Micah, we have the very exact place where Jesus Christ would be born, declared by Micah the prophet. Praise the Lord, let's go there. Micah 5, and oh yes, what a verse this is. Verse 2 here. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Oh, isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord. Yes, let's just look at that again. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, not a very significant place. Not a place that, you know, many would resort to. But it says, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Oh, yes. Oh, no wonder Isaiah, you know, could describe him. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, oh, in such a way that, you know, we would know that, you know, he wasn't ordinary. His name being called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Oh, no wonder. Oh, my, because here, yes, Micah is talking about the one who would come forth to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, praise the Lord, from everlasting. And praise the Lord, we see how it came to pass. And again, well, we're going to go back, oh, to Matthew, the second chapter this time, to read of that fulfillment coming to pass, praise the Lord, oh, yes. But the exactness of God's word, oh, yes. Oh, it was declared so precisely and exactly, and oh my, you know, there's so much more, even beyond what I'm ever going to be able to present. But here, let's look at this. Matthew chapter 2. It tells us, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, and, you know, historically it looks like this would be between 6 and 4 B.C., perhaps from some of the noting here. But anyway, again, yes, I guess maybe the exactness of the date isn't precise here, but it says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And, oh my, the description of them is found in Isaiah 60. And that's a tremendous description of these wise men. But they were saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And isn't it amazing, you know, God wanted it to be known. And, you know, the people he appeared to, you know, to let them understand, oh, that it had come to pass. Shepherds in the field watching their flocks by night, and here, men of the east, to whom they saw this star that appeared in the sky, and the star indicated that a king had been born in Israel, and they saw it and understood it. They had that knowledge. And it tells us when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And you know, you might ponder this, you know, tradition says that there were 3 wise men, but it doesn't say 3 by any means here. If you want a description of these wise men, you just have to look at Isaiah 60. Oh, it's pretty amazing. Maybe we should read some of this. Isaiah 60, it tells us here, starting with verse 1, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. And yes, we read of the darkness there in the 9th chapter of Isaiah also. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. The Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. And then it says, lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far. Thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. And oh my, I believe this 5th verse is referencing Herod and the people of Jerusalem, who all at once they saw all these wise men that came upon the scene, came upon Jerusalem. And oh, you know, it tells us in verse 6, the multitude of camels shall cover thee. Oh, there were many wise men. It was a multitude. The multitude of camels shall cover thee. the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All they from Sheba shall come, they shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. God would call these men from the east, and they would come, the multitude of them on their camels, and it was going to cover Jerusalem. Oh, yes, dromedaries, camels, in other words, of Midian and Ephah. All they from Sheba shall come. And yes, they would bring gold and incense, it tells us, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. And then the next two verses talk about the shepherds that saw the angels, that witnessed the angels and their announcement that, oh yes, Christ the Savior had been born. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. No, praise the Lord. I've mentioned this in the past, but Kedar and Nebaioth, they were actually the second and first sons of Ishmael and became nomadic tribes. I think that's quite interesting there, that God chose such when he came upon the scene as the babe wrapped in a manger. But, you know, by the time the wise men got there, because, yes, it was a long travel. Obviously, Jesus was not a babe in the manger anymore. So anyway, here it is, chapter 2 of Matthew. Here they came from the east to Jerusalem with the big question, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. It tells us when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. Oh, so many wise men upon the scene, just, oh, yes, coming forth and taking over, it almost seemed. And so, yes, Herod had, oh, yes, the scholars look it up. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And oh yes, I don't know how much looking they had to do. Perhaps it was on the top of their head. But it tells us those, the chief priests and scribes, who were asked, because Herod was demanding, where in the world would this Christ be born? They said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Oh, praise the Lord, that prophetic utterance from Micah 5:2, they knew where to find it. And that told them precisely, oh, where the Savior would be born. And it tells us here, then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him. And of course, this was pretense. And yes, they were still obviously in Bethlehem at this point, but he was no longer that babe in the manger that the shepherds had witnessed, of course, at the moment when he was born, because yes, some time had come forth. And so it tells us, when they had heard the king, they departed. And yes, obviously Herod made it sound like, you know, he was interested too. And yeah, once they found him, well, come tell me so I can come worship him too. But it tells us when they heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. So it was a house, obviously, as we will read in verse 11, where Jesus was now with his mother and Joseph, his stepfather, there. So amazingly, that star that the wise men had viewed in the east came and stood over them so they would know precisely where to go. And it tells us when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, all these indicators and all these evidential things that were being manifested right before their eyes. And it tells us in verse 11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And oh yes, God's always a step ahead of us. It tells us in verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Oh, how God has everything under control, you see. And oh yes, he knew how to bring these wise men to the exact location where the young child was, so they could fall down and worship him and present their treasures. And I imagine those gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, you know, aided Joseph and the young family as they had to now flee into Egypt. And oh yes, they were warned of God that they should not return to Herod, who through pretense had told them to come back and tell them where the young child was. So being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And then it tells us, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. I love it how God, yes, he is so ahead of us. Of course, he knew what would happen. And yes, he certainly knows the end from the beginning. But yes, he's warning his people, you know. He's letting Joseph know the great need that they now needed to flee and go into Egypt. And so Joseph heard and obeyed. It tells us in verse 14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Oh, praise the Lord. And that's also recorded in Hosea chapter 11, 1. Amen. And oh, yes, all those prophetic utterances had to be fulfilled. Oh, yes, God, who knew the end from the beginning, had allowed his prophets to utter them. And yes, so here we see another fulfillment of prophecy. Yes, as now they had to flee into Egypt. And then that understanding that Herod now was getting, that those wise men were not going to come back and tell him where that child was. So it goes on to tell us, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. And so here in this second chapter of Matthew, here is another prophetic utterance that can be found in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 15. Amen. All these things coming to pass. precisely, exactly as God had allowed the prophets to foretell. And then it goes on in this second chapter of Matthew. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life." And so it tells us, Joseph again, hearing what he is being told by the angel of the Lord, he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But it tells us, but when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father, Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene," meaning a citizen or inhabitant of Nazareth. And you know, this is curious here. Perhaps you have tried to find this scripture in the Old Testament, this prophetic utterance, "He shall be called a Nazarene." And indeed, the word Nazareth or Nazarene is not in the Old Testament. And so, you know, it's curious what is meant. I know I was pondering over this. And as I was just looking up some material, some references and so on, I came to understand that in the Hebrew, the word Nazareth means the branch. And I just thought, wow, that's really something. I just wonder if there's a correlation then between this, the prophetic utterances in Zechariah. So let's just go there, and you could, you know, think, well, you know, what, you know, you would consider here in this matter. But I think this is, you know, very worthy because, you know, I know God's word is true, and here there is this reference here in this 23rd verse of Matthew 2. But anyway, yes, as I begin to realize that another name for Nazareth is the branch, I find it just curious here. We go to Zechariah chapter 3 to begin here. I'm going to read a little bit. And here it tells us, verse 8 here, "Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day," obviously a reference to Calvary. "In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall you call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree." Another reference there to be at rest in peace. Oh yes, which certainly is the case when sin is removed. Oh, praise the Lord. But this is interesting there. And where it says the seven eyes, there's an explanation in chapter 4 of Zechariah, verse 10. Those seven eyes, it tells us what the seven eyes are in verse 10 of chapter 4. "For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. With those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth." I believe that's referencing the all-seeing eyes of God that's able to see all aspects of men and women and every detail of this earth with his eyes. Praise the Lord. But there is a reference to the branch there in Zechariah 3. And now if you would turn with me to the 6th chapter of Zechariah, I'd also like to read a little bit of this too. Praise the Lord. It tells us here, verse 9, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, take of them of the captivity, even of Hideah, of Tobijah, and of Jediah, which are come from Babylon, and come thou the same day, and go into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. Then take silver and gold, and make crowns, and set them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne. And the council of peace shall be between them both. And the crown shall be to Helam, and to Tobijah, and to Jediah, and to Hen, the son of Zephaniah, for a memorial in the temple of the Lord. And I love verse 15. And they that are far off shall come and build in the temple of the Lord. And ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. And this shall come to pass if ye will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Oh, praise the Lord. But, oh my, I find that interesting, the word branch in the Hebrew meaning Nazareth. And then so could it be that that would refer to the one whose name is Jesus of Nazareth, the Nazarene, as it tells us, refers to in Matthew chapter 2, verse 23. Oh, praise the Lord, you decide. Amen. I know God's word is true. I know every word is established. And I know, oh my, it's all found in God's word. But praise the Lord. Oh yes, that's a beautiful prophetic utterance. That, oh yes, he would build the temple of the Lord. And praise the Lord, that temple is a temple that's not made with hands. Praise the Lord, a temple that we can all participate in. Praise the Lord. Oh, it tells us here in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, as I get ready to end here. Praise the Lord. It tells us, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And talking about both Jew and Greek, or Jew and Gentile. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, as his people, praise the Lord, joint heirs with Christ, we become that spiritual habitation or temple of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, as is prophesied here in Zechariah, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. It's talking about a people. Oh, yes, that would become his children, amen, his temple. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Oh, praise the Lord. And even those that are far off, oh, that's speaking of us Gentiles that were far off, oh, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, shall come and build in the temple of the Lord. And ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. And this shall come to pass, if ye will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Oh, praise the Lord. God's precise prophetic scripture, all that he so amazingly had penned by the prophets. Oh, yes, in whom he gave the words and utterances to. And praise the Lord, oh yes, those many prophetic utterances, just a few that we've been able to cover, but oh my, those 300 plus that, you know, talk about Jesus Christ have been fulfilled, those that pertain to his first coming, and those that pertain to his second coming, oh yes, one of these days, oh, they too also will be completely and fully fulfilled. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, comes. Oh, yes, to gather his people home and to judge this world in righteousness. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank God. I'm so glad that we have found him. Praise the Lord that we are participants in his kingdom. Praise the Lord, and we can say that we have found him, oh, like those did of old. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. We're so thankful and grateful that you came to this world. Oh, you allowed your scriptures to be fulfilled, Lord. And oh, God, we are recipients of such grace and mercy. Oh, such proof that, oh, you are indeed the Messiah, the King of Kings, the one, oh, yes, that was prophesied to come into this world to take away the sin of this world. Oh, Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
In closing, we are going to open our course book to number 78 and sing Keep On Walking by Faith. 78.
Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me.
God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night. Thank you.
Thank you. Amen.